yourself, 'cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Cincinnati, graduated from the United States Naval Academy, and won the Heisman Trophy in 1963. After serving 4 years as a naval officer, he led the Dallas Cowboys to 2 Super Bowl victories. He retired as the highest-rated passer of all time and was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1985. He then founded a commercial real estate firm, which today has 1,200 people in 60 offices. His name? Roger Staubach. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Roger Staubach, the legendary Texan, originally from Cincinnati. Roger, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Well, Jack, it's great being with you.
Can we start by you telling us about your childhood and your parents?
Well, my childhood was a while ago. So I grew up, I was an only child, grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. I had the good fortune to have great parents. My mother went back to work when I was about 7 or 8. She worked for General Motors for 30 years, and my dad was a kind of a traveling salesman, is probably as nice a human being as you ever want to meet in your life. He'd give you the shirt off his back, but he struggled as far as working. That's why my mother went back to work. And then I actually lived in a room with my grandmother till I was about 14, until she passed away. So I kind of had a close-knit family, and my grandmother spoiled me, and my mother had to discipline me. But I was in the neighborhood, and you know, middle class. It was not an expensive neighborhood in Cincinnati, and a bunch of kids. And I got into sports. I played football, basketball, and baseball, and that was my passion, sports. And I played all three of those sports all through the Naval Academy. Actually, basketball just 2 years at Navy, but I played baseball 4 years at Navy and football.
What advice would you give to a young girl, a young boy, who has a dream about going into one of the academies?
Well, I think taking a look at the academies, if it is a dream, that, you know, obviously academically you want to keep working, making sure that people are aware, especially your congressmen, they're aware of your desires to go to the academy, and then, you know, get a chance to go up and visit the service academies. I was recruited, actually. Coach Rick Verzano was trying to our center on our football team. He and I were co-captains. Jerry Mopper wanted to go to the academy, and Rick came to see him and was looking at film and said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to that quarterback." And so they called me out of class. And so when I visited the academy, I really liked the atmosphere. I liked the the chance to play sports and also get a good education. So the academy, the best thing I ever did was go to the Naval Academy. It sure gave me more than I gave it, and I've always been grateful. So any young person interested in the service academies ought to make sure that they understand all aspects and also go visit the academies.
It's 1963. You go 9-1. You win the Heisman Trophy. What was that like?
Well, we came off of a real good 62 season. We almost upset a Southern Cal. They were national champs, and we played them out in the Coliseum in L.A. It was a heck of a game. Then we had the momentum going in the Army-Navy game, and we beat Army 35-14, and President Kennedy was at that game. And that really gave us the momentum to go into that 63 season, and we just got it together. I was a junior, and our captain of our team, Tom Lynch, was just a great leader, and we were big underdogs against West Virginia. We beat them 51-7 in the opening game of the year, so that was, we knew we had a good team, and we went up to Ann Arbor, beat Michigan, we beat Notre Dame and South Bend, we beat Pitt when they only lost one game, that was to us. So we were on a good roll until the Cotton Bowl. We lost in the Cotton Bowl, but that season we're still very close. The players on that team, we have reunions together, and Tom Lynch, who's the captain, works in our Washington D.C. office, and Skip Orr's also was our wide receivers in our Washington office, and Pat Donnelly's out in Southern California. He was our fullback. So I made some of the strongest friendships of my life from that 63 football team.
You graduate in 1965. Everybody wants to go to the NFL, and you've made a commitment for 4 years of service with the Navy. Was that tough?
No, it wasn't. You know, I just I didn't think there was not another choice. You know, I knew that I had the 4 years, and I obviously knew that I could probably play professional football, but I didn't think that there was a way out, or didn't try to look at things differently. And I think probably one of the worst decisions of my life, if I would have figured a way to leave the Naval Academy and go into professional football, that would be a stigma that I have forever. That he's trying to. I've been married 40 years. I was on one professional football team, and I've got a loyalty streak in me, and that would have been a real disaster if I would have tried to figure that one out. But it turned out great. I was able to, in my fourth year in the service, I knew that I could. I was still in good shape. I knew that I could play again, and I went to Cowboy training camp, took 2 weeks leave, and they had a real good training camp, and so I had the best of both worlds. I had a great 4 years in the Navy, and I played 11 years for the Dallas Cowboys.
One of the years in the Navy you spent in Vietnam. What has remained with you about that experience?
Well, I was a logistics officer. I was the supply officer, so I wasn't out in getting shot at like a lot of my fellow Vietnam veterans, but I had a very important role. I was in Da Nang and Chu Lai, and basically supported the Marines that were in the I Corps area of South Vietnam, and I just think today, you know, if someone says they're a Vietnam veteran, I want to give them a hug and just say you fought for this country, you fought for, because you were asked to fight for this country. And it sure wasn't a popular war. And coming back from that war, I think, you know, Vietnam veterans weren't given the treatment they deserved. But people now look at on the history side of it, realize that the number that were lost were almost, I guess, close to 55,000, the wounded. And there's been a real appreciation for the men and women that fought an unpopular war, but they did it for this country, and they were courageous. And I'm proud to be a Vietnam veteran, I am very, very grateful for those Vietnam veterans that were out there, fighting in the field every day.
We're talking to Roger Staubach, who entered the NFL in 1969 at age 27, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Roger Staubach, who led the Dallas Cowboys to two Super Bowls and retired in 1979 as the highest-rated passer of all time. Roger, you played for a legendary coach, Tom Landry. He once said about you, "Roger Staubach just may be the best combination of a passer, an athlete, and a leader to ever play in the NFL." What did you learn from him?
Well, you know, I was I joined the Cowboys when Don Meredith had just retired, and Don was a great quarterback that took the punishment to build Dallas to a winning team from an expansion team, and we were in the midst of, you know, the Lillies, the Leroy Jordans, the Mel Renfros, and Jethro Pugh, and the guys that kind of were building the team were kind of in the midst of I got to be part of that period of time, and Coach Landry really had been there for quite a while, and he really didn't particularly like a running quarterback, and he kind of thought I was going to adapt. But he knew I could throw, and I could throw from the pocket, or he wouldn't have kept me. So he was a very good X and O coach. He was strategically a great coach, and he's also a great human being, and all the good things you've heard about him, he was even better than that. You know, he lived his life the way he represented to the team, and he wasn't preachy about things, but he had a strong faith. And so he was a tough, fierce competitor, and he adapted to my kind of crazy take. You know, on the field, I took chances, and I liked to make things happen, and I ran. And off the field, I'm a lot more conservative. So he adapted to my on the field running, and we became great friends, especially after I retired. We had great respect as a coach and player, but you know, he knew I wanted to win. I worked hard, but he kind of put up with me at times. And when I retired, we formed a very strong relationship, and I had a lot of tremendous respect for him. And you know, I quarterbacked 4 Super Bowls, and we won a couple of them. And so you got to have that humility in life, you know. Yeah, if we won all 4 of them, I would be a arrogant, insensitive, you know, probably a selfish human being. But having that humility of losing a few is kind of given me a lot of stability. I'm trying to figure out an excuse for losing those games, Jack.
The Steelers.
We won some good ones, and we lost to a great Steeler team, 21-17 and 35-31. So we had in the 11 years I played, we didn't have a losing year. We were in the playoffs and all but 1 year. So I happened to be drafted by and became part of a great football team.
Twice you reached the summit, Utopia, you won 2. Twice you went to the depths. What did that teach you?
Well, you know, you kind of have to be grateful for things you have in life, and there's nothing wrong with wanting more. And, you know, as an athlete, I've sure felt that we could have accomplished more, but I'm very grateful for what we did get accomplished. And so I think you learn the lessons of life every day when you have kids and grandkids, or you're playing sports. You just got to do the best that you can do, and that's all you can kind of expect out of life is to, and when you're down and you got to persevere, you got to be resilient. And all of us have been down in life, and you can't cook the books, or you know, change your values, give up on your faith. I think you just have to deal with life with in the proper way when you're down, and when you have success, you want to maintain a humility and not develop an arrogance, because you don't have success without the help of others. And I think I learned a lot as an athlete about the importance of how I got there because of my teammates. And I think in life, you know, you got to have that balance in life of not only taking out of life, but giving back, because there's no way you can be successful without the help of others. And that's what I learned as an athlete. And I also learned when I was down and we lost that you have to persevere and pick yourself back up.
You led the Cowboys to 23 come-from-behind victories in the fourth quarter. 17 of these comebacks came in the final 2 minutes of the game. Therefore, the nickname Captain Comeback. Many people, when they've got to make that putt on the 18th hole, or they've got to make that free throw at the end of the game, they don't want to take it. You seem to thrive in that final moment. Why?
Well, you know, when I was, as I mentioned, I played baseball growing up, and my dad mentioned one time that, you know, if there's runners on second and third, and I was up to bat, and we were behind by 1 run, that I wanted to be up at bat, and he recognized that in me, and I said, well, you know, I didn't always hit the runs in by any means, but I made good things happen, and usually, and I was in high school basketball. I had a 1-1 and 3 free throws. We were in overtime, and we were behind by 1 point. I missed the first free throw, and I ran in the locker room, and I was upset with myself. I went home, and it just killed me that I'd lost the game. And but then I thought, you know, I want that chance again. And the thing is that I think you have to work hard and have the confidence that you're prepared for that moment, and then you just do the best that you can. And you're not always going to be successful, but if you do the best that you can and you're prepared for the moment, and you have confidence that you're going to make it happen more than you're going to have disappointment. So I always really believed in being able to be in a tough situation. And in football, you have to be able to carry that thinking over to the other players, because, again, you can't do it. There's no way you're going to do it by yourself, but you've got to get – they've got to see the confidence you have, so they're going to give their best to make sure that you can have that winning drive in a football game, because if they don't believe you can do it or if the team can't do it, it's not going to happen. And we were able to win some really close games, and we always believed we could do it, and in many cases we did.
Roger is credited with the first Hail Mary pass. When we come back, we'll ask him about that. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Pasula.
Welcome back. We're talking to Roger Staubach, who's credited with the saying, a Hail Mary pass. Roger, how did that come about?
Well, Jack, you know, believe it or not, I was in Minnesota yesterday. I was speaking to Best Buy, which is a great retail company, and they introduced me with the Hail Mary pass. And as soon as I started talking about people in the audience kind of pushing, you know, they were saying Drew Pearson pushed off and just kidding around. But in 75, we played the Vikings. We were behind 14-10. And with about 30 seconds to go, I asked Drew what he could do, and he said he could go deep. So I kind of said, okay, and told everybody to block. And I kind of pumped to the left to look off Paul Krause, who was their great safety. And then I threw back to the right and intentionally underthrew Drew. Actually, it wasn't a good pass. It was a little short. He caught it. And Nate Wright was the defensive back, and he kind of slipped. There's no real evidence that Drew pushed off, but they did collide a little bit. But he caught the ball kind of under his armpit almost, and went into the end zone. And we won 17-14. It was a playoff game. It was a big game. It got us into the Super Bowl. We beat L.A. the next week and got into the Super Bowl. But after the game, the press said, "Roger, what were you thinking about?" And I said, "Well, I closed my eyes and said a Hail Mary," and that is the official term that it was when it was used in a professional game, and was the Hail Mary pass. And Doug Flutie, they try to give it to Doug, but that was 7 years late. There was a lot of a Hail Mary passes afterwards, but the Hail Mary pass Drew Pearson made in Minnesota.
There was a famous one here at U of M against Colorado.
Oh yeah,
Cordell Stewart threw one at the end of the game. Super Bowl 40 is soon to come to Detroit in January of 2006. For our viewers, what will that experience be like for us?
Well, of course, you know, Detroit is will be able to handle it, I'm sure, with all the hotel space, and you're just going to be you'll be besieged by human beings from all over the country. But it's a fun time, and I mean, there's probably more anticipation for the game that creates the excitement than sometimes the game itself. So Detroit hosted a Super Bowl a number of years ago. In fact, my son and I went to that game, and we're going to be going to this game also. And this is the 40th year actually of the Super Bowl. So the NFL is going to have a lot of extra activities going on. I know the former MVPs. I was an MVP in 71 because Dwayne Thomas didn't talk to anybody, so they voted for me. We will be back, and I think the NFL is really going to do it up big because of the 40th year, and the great people of Detroit should have a lot of fun.
We're talking to Roger Staubach, and I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Pasula.
Welcome back. We're with Roger Staubach. Rick Forzano, the former coach of the Lions, was the head coach of the Naval Academy, and he recruited you to the Naval Academy. He promised you two things, Roger. One, that you would win the Heisman Trophy. And two, he would get a battleship named after you. I talked to him the other day, and he said he's now working on a tugboat. What did you learn from Rick Forzano?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that battleship, actually. Rick was the best. I mean, he's just a great human being. He was a great coach. He, at the time he recruited me for the Naval Academy, he was the defensive backfield coach, and he tried to get me over there on defense. But I was looking forward to playing quarterback, and so he and I became great friends. But his main goal was to get the center on our football team in high school, who was our co-captain, to the Naval Academy, and he was interested, and he was watching film of our center, Jerry Mopper, and he saw me, and he just said, somebody at Purcell High School, he said, can I get Staubach to come down here? And so they got me out of class, actually. I went down and met Rick, and he sold me on the fact I should visit the Naval Academy, and that's what sold me on the Naval Academy. So I'm very grateful for Rick for talking me into going to Naval Academy.
In 1977, you start the Staubach Company. Can you talk about what it does?
Well, I worked in the off season in real estate. We had three little girls who were born in the Navy, so I was an old rookie at 27, and I if I got hurt or something happened, I needed to make sure I had a job. And so I worked in the off season. I really liked real estate. I worked for the Henry Miller Company, and a few years before I retired, I played 11 years. And the couple years before I retired, I left the Miller Company and had a great relationship there, and started a small company. I thought we would stay in Dallas, and when I retired in '80, we had a really nice business. We were kind of helping the corporate user of facilities, office, industrial, and retail, help them locate space, or if they're going to buy a building or renew their lease. And so I had some good relationships with corporations, so we were hired on a few projects, and that was the platform that we've built now to 1,300 people and 60 offices in the U.S. And we have an international partnership, but our primary focus is to help the occupier, the user of real estate, to strategize and help them find the right solution that's cost effective and also where they want to be.
More and more people are trying to start their own business. What advice would you give to a person trying to start a company?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that to understand that you have to pay a price and kind of deal with the frustrations of getting a business started, but you want to make sure you're not over leveraged, that you have the capital to be able to fulfill the dream you have in starting the business, and realize that it's going to take some time. So to be properly capitalized, to be able to stay with what you believe and what you want to get done, and then it's really making sure that you have the right people in the right places doing the right things. It's making sure that you have on board smart people, whether it's your CFO or your head of IT or whoever it is, that you've got to make sure that that you have the right people. And business today, you got to work hard at it. It just doesn't, it is time consuming, especially starting a business. And also you got to persevere. You got to stick to what you believe in and your values of what you want to get accomplished in business, and realize you're going to get knocked down. But if you continue to stay with it and believe in what you're doing, that you'll pick yourself back up. So there's the peaks and valleys of life, and business is that way. But I think perseverance, hard work, and getting the right people around you have been the reason that we're still building a business. We have done and have a great company that's on the move right now, and I still worry about it every day. I think when you stop worrying about your business, that old saying, adversity reveals genius and prosperity conceals it, and prosperity can lead into arrogance and lack of humility. So I think you, no matter where you're positioned in your business, you need to, you know, especially when you have success, is to stay humble and realize that you have to continue to work hard, no matter what part of the business cycle you're in.
Recently, I was talking to somebody, and the person was talking about someone else, and he said, "Jack, he is a fluffmeister, not a stuffmeister." You meet a lot of people, you interview a lot of people. How do you decide whether they're the right stuff or just fluff?
Well, that's a good question, and that's the I think through the years that we've had a few of the fluffers, and I call them kind of, there's the good quirky. I mean, everybody's a little quirky, and it just, you know, if you say something and this is who you are, you want to see that being played out. And there's the good quirky people are people that they want to take out a life, but they give back, and I think you can trust them. I mean, they still are quirky, and we're all quirky. But the bad quirky are, it's always about them. It's and think times get tough, they're gonna stick it to you, and you've just got to make sure that if you're preaching that we're a customer focused company, that we're going to do the right things for the customer, that we're going to live up to the commitments we make, and the good quirky people do that, and that trust is there. The trust is also internally in the company with the good quirky people. So the bad quirky people, though, you've got to get rid of them and find out who they are, and it's a shame, but that's just what life is. And so there's some people out there that their agendas are their own personal agendas, and so hiring, we have professional hiring standards. We have a calipers test we give people to make sure that, you know, they're situated for what we do, and it's the right business for them. And we just have a much more formalized way of trying to hire people. And then there's that gut instinct that, and there's a track record. You got to check, you know, the resumes, make sure that if they said they have a bachelor of science in engineering, or they're an architect or something, they just got to track it down to make sure that that's the case. And so it's a lot of hard work, and yet there's instincts that are involved when you hire people.
On the website for the Staubach Company, tucked in the fifth paragraph is a simple single sentence. It says, "He joined the Dallas Cowboys professional football team as a quarterback in 1969 and launched his real estate career while playing football." That's all it says about your Hall of Fame career. Three or four times you've used this word, humble humility. How did you get to be so humble?
Well, I had, I've always been grateful for those people that have contributed to my life. My mom and dad, I was an only child in Cincinnati, Ohio, and my mother actually worked for General Motors for 30 years and the Sharonville office for Chevrolet, and they were just good people. They cared about others, and my dad wasn't overly ambitious, but he'd give you the shirt off his back. And so, you know, you kind of get, you know, you get lucky, and you have those examples in your life. And I had a coach that switched me to quarterback my senior in high school, and he felt that I should be a quarterback, and I didn't want to be a quarterback. So you kind of look through your life and you say, hey, listen, you know, I haven't been able to do things by myself, but with the help of the others and my commitment, you know, good things will happen. And that's where you got to keep your humility, that you haven't done it by yourself. And to this day, I've been married 40 years. I got a, you know, great wife, and sometimes she, you know, she gets mad at me. I don't listen, and, you know, I don't do all the things sometimes to be grateful for. The fact is that, you know, we have 5 kids and 10 grandkids, and Marianne has put as much into my life as I have. And once you start thinking it's all about you, you're in trouble. Even as an athlete, I wish we would have won more Super Bowls, but I'm also very grateful for the fact is that we won some, and maybe that's how I got humble, though. We won a few Super Bowls, and we lost a few, so you stay humble when you know that there's peaks and valleys of life.
We're talking to Roger Staubach, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
We're with Roger Staubach, and one more thing Forzano says, there is more people that look up to Roger Staubach than anyone he's ever known. Quite a compliment. Roger, in today's world, especially in this marketplace, there's so much uncertainty about the future. People like your mom that worked for GM for 30 years, they don't know if they're going to have a job in a year or two. You successfully went from one Hall of Fame career to another fabulous chapter in your life. What advice do you give to people that have to change at the age of 30, 40, 50?
Well, obviously I wish I had good advice that would be apropos to everyone that it really is. It's at a time right now on competition and what's taking place in our economy that it's affected. I'm a director of American Airlines, and it's a great airlines. And you know, the sensitivity between management and labor is, you know, you get people that get up every morning, they have kids, they're sending them off to school, and they're human beings that really have given their life to your business, and you want to make sure that you're maintaining your integrity and your relationship there. And I think I've been reading, obviously, all of the car industry and the automobile industry is somewhat similar to the airlines industry as far as cost, and you're dealing with foreign competition in the automobile industry, and it's just kind of hanging in there together, and also maybe looking at a different structure in your life and the quality of your life to maintain it is difficult, especially when some of the pensions are affected the way they are. So I don't really have an answer, Jack, other than I have a tremendous sympathy for every single person that works for our company, and we'll do everything possible to make sure that they understand our business and we're doing the right things for them. And I think the automobile industry, especially right now, is going through a rethinking, a retooling, and it's a heartache for a lot of families. And yet, you know, you have that perseverance, and you get abilities to do other things, and you get creative, and you get up, your kids now maybe are older, and they're going to support what you're trying to do. It's just a lot of bonding has to take place to fight through a very, very difficult time, especially in the automobile industry right now.
What role has faith played in your life?
Well, my life is been based on the belief that I do believe there's the permanence to this life. And you know, you wonder why all these crazy things happen in the world, and we just don't have all the answers. And faith really fills the void of really trying to make sure that my commitment. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I'm still a very strong practicing Catholic, and I've maintained my very strong faith, and I believe that Jesus died for us, and we've got a chance to have permanence to our life when he from the resurrection. So I try to get a perspective on what's going on in the church now and the disappointments in the church, and then you just gotta look back inside yourself and say, these are human beings that are disappointing you. And but my faith is unshakable. I mean, I still have a very strong faith that there's just a lot of answers we don't have, and you're not going to get all the answers, and that's why faith has got to be in the middle of your spirituality.
What advice would you give to young people?
Well, my advice would be to continue to we as human creatures, I mean, it's hard not to say, you know, how are we put together? I mean, something had to. There's some magnificent event that's taken place, and to be able to understand being a human being. And I think young people today need to really search the importance of their spirituality, that life is more than just the existence we're going to have on this earth. And I just feel that if they're not trying to understand or search for an identity that is more than this material life, then that's a big mistake. And yet there's hopefully there's different spiritual opportunities for young people today through different churches, through just trying to look to realize that their faith should become a priority to try to understand it in their own personal lives. And I'm still at my age, I'm still very, very committed, but I've always tried to understand my faith, but I have never ever doubted and have never given up on it.
Roger, to young people again, is the American dream still possible?
Well, for young people, the American dream is, I mean, the young people are really getting more involved in businesses today. We have a company, we have 1,300 people, and I see some of the young people, I say, holy cow, but they are doing great things for us. And young people today know technology, they're into the internet, they're able to communicate, they're creative, they're actually adding a lot to businesses today. So I think it's a very exciting time to be young, and yet we got kind of a war going on. We got a lot of things that young people have to be keeping in perspective, but at the end of the day, I think it's a very exciting time to be a young person, there's just tremendous opportunities out there for young people today driving business plans.
Heisman Trophy winner, Hall of Fame quarterback, 2 Super Bowls, very successful.
I think I should be a psychologist with all these questions, Jack. You know, these are tough ones.
All these achievements.
I'm sitting here trying to run a real estate company, and you're no, but I appreciate the chance to give my thoughts. I just wish I could explain myself a little bit better at times.
What are you the proudest of?
I'm sitting here in my office here in Dallas, and I've got quite a few pictures hanging up there, and it's kind of not corny at all. But we've got 5 kids, and they've got really nice spouses. We got some in-laws in our life, and we got 10 grandkids, and my Marianne and I are still in love after we've been married 40 years. And I guess I'm the proudest of being able to work hard as an athlete and in business, but my priorities are making sure that I have the trust and the integrity from my family.
Roger Staubach, thanks for being an inspiration every day of your life for so many, and thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks. Tell Rick I said hi.
Our guest next Sunday will be the president and CEO of Palace Sports and Entertainment, Tom Wilson. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.